Hey everyone, welcome to the Behind the Scenes podcast. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Audrey.
And on this podcast, we share the messy, honest, unfiltered, and not so curated parts of our life.
Think of this podcast as a bunch of bloopers with some truth bombs sprinkled throughout.
That's right. We're going to be taking you behind the scenes of our daily routines, our social media feeds, and what you may or may not have seen on TV.
We're going to be talking relationships, family, faith, business, basically whatever we are learning about, fighting about, or laughing about lately.
We're going to be sharing our daily life, our struggles, successes, and our roses and thorns from each week.
And we don't want this podcast to just be about us, so we're also going to go behind the scenes with some of the people who inspire us the most.
We hope this podcast feels like you're joining us for a campfire.
Come hang out.
Christmas is coming up.
But actually, really excited.
Yeah, we're pretty excited. I wouldn't say we're like massive, you know. Well,
what?
Yeah, maybe we are.
Get out. You're a Grinch.
But we're not like Christmas trees in October.
What? I would be. No
one's
open.
What do you mean
open.
You would be?
We don't live in Bend anymore, so we can't just go hack down a tree.
This is, well, yeah, we can. Tillamook State Forest, I think you can do it.
I thought it had to be National Forest.
Oh, that's true.
I think it has to be National Forest.
I think it has
forest.
To be a National Forest,
That's
yeah.
why we could do it in the shoots.
Christmas is coming up.
Anyways.
We're back in the studio.
Yeah. I did like our little home office by our fireplace, though. Yeah. That was fun.
We've done the last two, I think, there.
But work-life balance. Gotta
yeah,
get it.
Yeah, trying to get that. So we got a fun episode today. Christmas traditions, managing expectations, you know, in-laws and personal stuff, that whole thing.
And all of our favorite Christmas just things that we love and yeah. stories and
yeah, so we're
gonna be a fun one.
It's gonna be a fun one. We're gonna dive in all that fun stuff. But before we do that, I thought it would be good to address, you know, the reason for the season, right? Which mm-hmm. is Christmas and Advent specifically, which I feel like is kind of a word that's been lost a little bit in today's culture. Mm-hmm. You know, we all know Christmas and that, you know, just celebration of the birth of Jesus, right? But Advent is a little more specific where it's historically, it's the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. And it's just that season of waiting in expectation of Christ's coming. But it wasn't necessarily specifically the coming of his birth, but it's actually waiting in expectation for mm-hmm. his second coming. And that's the which is what Advent actually means. It's a Latin word that means coming. And so, yeah, I was reading some stuff about it. And it's super interesting, but it's definitely something that I feel like, I don't know, it's just been, that word's been forgotten a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, totally. It's good, babe.
In today's culture. But there was something I read that I thought was really beautiful and sums up Advent really well. So I'm going to read that right now. When the church celebrates the liturgy of Advent each year, she makes present this ancient expectancy of the Messiah, for by sharing in the long preparation for the Savior's first coming, the faithful renew their ardent desire for his second coming. By celebrating the precursor's birth and martyrdom, the church unifies herself to his desire. He must increase, but I must decrease. I love that.
It's good.
It was super beautiful.
Yeah, it's really
kind of got to read it a couple times, but
yeah, totally.
But when you
like reading it's better than hearing it.
Yeah,
like being able to see the words.
Maybe. So, but I read it a couple times, and man, it was just really good. And then actually, this reminds me, like, you know, one of my favorite songs during Christmas time is "O Come, Emmanuel, and Ransom Captive." That whole Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
Really, in the singing in this podcast.
Yeah, right. That mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. That song is talking.
Nice, babe.
That song is talking about Advent and the coming of. Anyways, I'm not going to get all into it, but it's just so beautiful. And I think it's so easy to forget that that is actually what, especially yeah. as Christians and as the church, like that is what we're doing during Christmas mm-hmm. is we should be celebrating in expectation of his second coming and living into that reality every day. And this is just a season for that recognition when mm-hmm. we get lost in consumerism and lost in Santa Clauses and lost in all these things.
People-pleasing, too many traditions, too many pressure.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. What are you most excited for Christmas? What gets you razzed?
For me, it's weather. The weather outside, living in the beautiful Pacific Northwest.
The fog.
The fog. Just the waking fog. Up with like mist in the air and putting on your slippers and two flannels and walking out with a cup of coffee that's cold by the time you get back to the house.
Yeah. For those of you guys who don't live in a place
picking
with
up
seasons,
your mail.
I'm sorry.
I know.
Come to the Pacific Northwest.
It's so good. Yeah.
It's Christmas. It's so beautiful.
I'd say that, and then just always having a campfire burning in the fireplace. Mm-hmm. During this season.
I love that you call it a campfire in the fireplace.
Yeah. Well, we start a fire. We have a fire almost every day this season, this time of year.
Yeah, you can tell by our ash pile.
Yeah, it needs changing already.
Yeah, campfires, that's one of the things, or just fires in general. Being in our pajamas, like just everything about it feels cozy. I just love being cozy.
Yeah.
And I just feel like Christmas represents coziness, like cozying up with family and friends and just wearing cozy clothes.
Yeah, it's such
and
a good
watching
season.
Watching movies and drinking tea and playing chess and
making drinks.
Just everything about it is cozy. I love coziness.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's like fun for me. And I love, obviously, like the treats. My whole life growing up, my parents just had so many Christmas tradition dessert treats.
Yeah.
I always loved that.
Yeah.
And just like drives in the 40.
Yeah.
Going to look at Christmas lights.
And just giving gifts. Like it's fun. It's really fun giving.
Receiving gifts is my love language. So you
it
know
is.
About
remember
that.
The first gift I ever gave you?
Oh yeah. Well, you can't spoil this because our book.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We tell this whole story in our book of the first gift I ever gave Audrey. It was for Christmas 2011.
Okay, I guess podcasters are going to get an insider.
Yeah.
Insiders.
Well, I won't tell the whole story, but it's kind of a fun story. And
it's an amazing story.
I made Audrey, well, I didn't know what to get her because like we were like fresh friends and I was
very fresh.
Like, super fresh. Weeks old
very
maybe.
Very fresh.
And I was really into her and I was just like, oh, I'm going to make her something. But I didn't know what to get her because I didn't know her. And so I knew you were kind of quirky like me and liked old things. And so I said, oh, well, I'll just build her something that I've always wanted. And I've always wanted to build myself a lantern, a lamp lantern, like take an old kerosene lantern, you know, those really cool, pretty oil burning ones, and then turn it into a lamp. So install a socket and a bulb. And then wire it all up and plug it in, and it should be like a nightlight type thing. So I built that for her and presented it to you in front of your mom.
You came to my house and you almost, well, you, when you tell me the story now,
no, that's
you,
in for the book. Book. Okay, that's for the book. That for we'll the save book. That for the book.
But yeah. You, when you gave it to me, I thought I was like stoked.
She just thought it was an old
piece of
junk.
I just thought it was a lantern. No, I thought it was a lantern. And I was like, oh, so cool. Just the lantern itself would have been like so cool for me.
And then I plugged it in, it lit up.
And
then you were
like,
what? You were like brain malfunctioning. Like, what?
I know. Yeah. Like no guy I'd ever dated had given me anything like that before. It was
I thought you're, Yeah. Anyways.
I had it on my nightstand in college, all through college.
Yeah.
I had it on all the time. You wrote on the bottom of it.
Yeah.
From your friend Jeremy or something. It says like from Jeremy Christmas, whatever.
Yeah. So let's get into some traditions.
Yeah. But before we get into traditions too, like we should let people know, like Jen and I are very much like memorabilia, tradition, nostalgia people. Like we love our traditions and rhythms and things. So
we started thinking of what we wanted our traditions to be our first Christmas together.
Like when we were dating.
Like when we were dating. Oh, yeah.
Even when we were dating, we had some traditions like we would do, even with our friends. We do gingerbread house making competition. We did farm garage parties. We did the box game.
Which I won.
Oven mitt. People will love this. If you guys are looking for just like a fun game to play with your family or friends, wrap some cool gift in a box and then you stand in a circle and you pass around.
No. Can I?
So I was trying to tell it fast.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be a cool gift. It can be anything, but you wrap it in a box and then you duct tape it and you wrap it in another box and then you wrap it in another box. And basically you build this impenetrable
box
present and then you have to put on oven mitts and then you pass it around.
You put on your oven mitts.
And then you the person to your right has a pair of dice and they have to roll a double. And you have the person with the oven mitts, they have as long as
it takes for them to roll a double.
Once they roll a double, they pass the dice to the person to their right. And then the person with the mitts, you pass your mitts to the person that had the dice. And then it's
oven mitts.
It keeps going. Yeah, they're oven mitts.
And it's really hard to open it. You can use your teeth.
People are punching it. We're kneeing it. We're jumping on it. It's hilarious.
We have videos of the first year we played it. It was so funny. And people are just cracking up.
And sometimes it takes like 30 minutes and you're going around and around and around because someone really laid on the duct tape.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's a fun game.
Layers. Anyways, yeah, if you guys are looking for a fun game to play. But that was a fun tradition. We would go to...
Those were like for all the... back when we were dating, we did that for several years.
Also, we always went with my family to make wreaths, Christmas wreaths in Molalla.
Yeah.
Like we started doing those things like really early on.
Yeah.
Tree lighting.
And then, when was our first Christmas?
Our first married Christmas was in LA.
LA.
Oh, this is a good story. We should tell the story. We should tell the story of our first Christmas. It was so fun.
Well, yeah, we bought a $80 Christmas tree at Santa Monica Boulevard.
Well, hold on though. Time out. Christmas Eve, I had to work. I worked the day before. I worked Christmas Eve.
No, you worked the day before Christmas Eve and you worked the day after Christmas. Yeah. So we only had 2 days, one night.
Yeah.
And we decided to go to Lake Arrowhead.
So, but before we went to Lake Arrowhead, before we booked that Airbnb, we're like, we're going to go away for our first married Christmas. Just the two of us didn't have time to fly home to family. Ended up being amazing. But before that, we went to this little lot because we wanted a Christmas tree because we're Oregonians. You have trees.
Yeah. And we thought, we'd go just get a small one. You know, there's like a waist high tree for like $80. And I'm like, what?
On Santa Monica Boulevard, we were blown. We were like, we can't afford a tree.
We were like, what in the world is this?
But we had to get it. And then we ended up bringing it with us because we brought it with it. We packed the tree in our Jetta when we drove to Lake Arrowhead.
Yeah.
And then we drove in Christmas LA traffic for like 3 hours that night to Lake Arrowhead. And we got the cutest.
And that's really when we started a lot of our traditions. Like that Christmas, we were very intentional about. Super. One of the reasons we wanted to go away together is just to start being in from the get-go, like, hey, how are we going as a new family, how are we going to live this season from here on out? Like together.
Let's lay the foundation.
Let's lay the foundation.
This is fun.
And so we came up with three traditions that we still do today.
More than three.
Really? Well, okay, sure. A lot. But there's three core ones. One of them was we started our Christmas journal. Mm-hmm. So we have this journal that Audrey fills out every single Christmas.
I get to tell the Polaroid story because it's my idea.
Okay, after Christmas, she fills out this journal that basically says what we did, everything we did.
I just write down like, where our we Christmas. Went. So I remember
our Christmas.
I remember it.
You can tell next one.
The next one, this is just like a fun idea that I had 1 year because Jared and I both had Polaroid cameras that we inherited from our grandparents. And so we every year take a picture on Christmas morning or Christmas Eve.
It doesn't matter.
In our pajamas. And it's a selfie on the Polaroid. And we write Christmas, our first, that year we wrote first Christmas 2014,
it would have been 14, yeah.
And then we wrote the location of where we were, Lake Arrowhead. Then our second Christmas, we wrote second Christmas 2015, Bend, Oregon. Third Christmas 2016. And so then we turn it into an ornament. So we poke a little hole in the top of the Polaroid and we hang it on the tree. So like this year, we have five
Polaroids
that we get to hang on the tree.
Yeah.
Super fun.
And then we have one more.
And then, you're forgetting like your favorite one.
Well, no, we've got some more like sillier ones that might change throughout the years. Like we always watch the Lego movie. Like we watch.
Always. Yeah. But we actually always watch the Lego movie.
We love that. And it's been 4 years, so it's not like forever. But we love it. And it's such a fun movie to put on the background.
We always give each other
National
pajamas.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation's the other movie that it's not a tradition, but I love that one.
And we always give each other Christmas pajamas on Christmas Eve.
Somewhere. Yeah, that's fun.
Fun new Christmas pajamas.
I'm not super into that one. I know we've been doing that for a while, but
my
I
just
I have enough jammies now, you know, and I'm like, I don't need any more.
Yeah, but, us girls like our jammies though.
Yeah, you guys wear them out. I've got like my, I'm set for 10 years on my jammies right now, and I've got two pairs now, three pairs.
And you don't even wear jammies to bed.
Yeah, I know. I wear jeans. Audrey makes fun of me because I always wear jeans, like all I wear. Even when I'm getting cozy, I'm like, ooh, fresh pair of jeans.
So weird.
And then we make Christmas soup. That's a tradition. It's been a tradition in your family for a long time.
Mm-hmm. I've made it every year for us.
Deciding which traditions to kind of continue.
And we always go on a, we always go on a walk.
Always go outside. Doesn't matter how crazy.
We've gone on a long, like, kind of prayer walk though every year. Yep. Like just talking, yep. Fun, recapping, reminiscing.
Yep. Doesn't matter how crazy the winter is or the weather. Yeah, we get outside is kind of the idea there. Bring our thermos with cider usually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that was really fun. The first year we did that in Lincoln.
That was our first married Christmas.
Well, and do you remember, babe, our first married Christmas? We went, we wanted to go to church. And so we Googled like the closest church. And we were literally like in Lake Arrowhead, like deep into Lake Arrowhead. And there's this one church that was having a Christmas Eve service late at night. And it's like Church of the Woods or something.
Yeah,
like
we showed up.
We showed up. It was maybe like 30 families. Or
no,
something.
Way more than that.
More than that?
Yeah, way more than that.
It was so cute though. Like,
but it was all locals. You could tell.
So cute. Like Christmas good. Service. They had the candle lights and that was fun.
I'm so glad we spent time just alone. That it was so special.
We baked pie. We went to that one little market. Remember that was open on Christmas Day?
Yeah.
And we got stuff to bake pies. That was such a fun trip. Then we had to drive all the way back on Christmas Day because I worked the next day.
Yeah. That night. And then
nuts.
And then the next.
Woke up at 2:30 a.m. the day after Christmas.
Yeah. The next year we were in Bend. And we, of course, had a great Christmas there and snowy, like crazy. Like, I think we had 4 feet in our backyard that year.
Yeah.
It was up to our window.
Here we have those pictures of Pine the Kitty.
Yeah, Pine the Kitty. And then we went to the National State Forest to cut down Deschutes National Forest to cut down our tree.
Oh, tell people. Okay, tell people because people give us flack on this for social media for like you guys cut down your tree. A lot of people don't know it's legal to do that here.
Yeah, it's totally legal to do that here. They actually like it because it helps thin out some of the forests.
Yeah.
And you've got certain areas that you can't do it in, but you know they give you designated areas to go. But they basically say, "Yeah, go cut down your tree." And it's not like you're getting this big, thick, furry, nice, bushy, trimmed tree. You know, it's pretty. You're getting a little scraggler, but it's fun, and you're out there.
We drive out in the 40 in the snow into the woods and drag our tree with our handsaw down.
It's like National Lampoon.
It's so fun.
You can't cut down the size that they do in that movie, but you're out in the middle of the woods doing it. It's pretty fun.
And not the first year we were in Bend, but the second Christmas in Bend, we broke down with our tree coming home and it was snowing. And I remember it was freezing cold and we're on the side of the road, like late at night, it was getting dark. I'm like waving the jumper cables and you're like,
yeah,
looking in the 40, like trying to like get the 40 to work. And also, babe, I was pregnant, but we didn't know yet.
We didn't know?
No, I was pregnant that Christmas, but we didn't know.
Oh,
yet.
Crazy. I don't remember.
We were
that.
Broken down on the side of the road.
Wow. Oh, yeah, because we went to New York right after that for New Year's.
Yeah,
that's right. And you were pregnant also the whole time, and we
pregnant
didn't know.
Then.
Yeah.
But, and that was also when we did, we really, that year we also started like playing, I think we've had a chess game on Christmas every day.
Yeah, or backgammon. We play chess or backgammon. It's kind
because
of
that
thing.
Was the year I gave you the cool custom chessboard coffee table and you gave me the, if you guys have ever seen in our Instagram stories, our couch has this little thing that's
it's a table.
It's like a basically coffee table for the armrest of the couch and it has a little slip for like a journal to go in the side of it. Jared custom built it. It's so cool. Yeah. It's like one of my favorite gifts he's ever given to me. I use it every day.
Every single day, yeah.
And he built, we've had gifts that year. That was a fun year.
I built you the wine rack too that year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are two custom.
Two really good gifts that year.
Wood project. Yeah, that was a fun year.
And I had the custom chess table made, but I don't have those skills, so I had to
get. Yeah.
And I gave you the cool braided railroad spike beer opener.
Yeah, which I use all the time.
That really industrial.
Yeah, totally. That's actually kind of a good segue into the two things we're kind of wanting to work on this Christmas, right?
Yeah. What are those two things, babe?
Well,
you enlighten me.
No, well, we talked about this a little bit, but the first thing would be, I think you and I are making active, we're making a very active conscious decision to just put effort towards resisting consumerism, right? Mm. And wanting to just kind of be conscious about how we think about Christmas, and specifically with Ember, she's really kind of woken us up to just like, how many gifts does a kid really need? And getting like 20 gifts in a day is, that's not probably the best way to go about it. Mm-hmm. You know, like maybe we either don't do that, but managing how family and friends and everyone.
How family gives gifts too.
Like, how family gives gifts.
Obviously, yeah. She's really little now, but.
Yeah, she's later. Really little now, but those aren't conversations we've had yet with family, but they are conversations that we're thinking about, mm-hmm. and we're gonna need to have, you know.
Because last year was our first Christmas with Ember. And so we were just kind of like trying to figure out, like, now it's like getting married all over again. Not actually, but like, okay, now what do we want our traditions with kids to look like? You know, like mm-hmm. we kind of had like our system dialed for the past few years, and it had been just Jer and I. We stayed in LA or stayed in Bend. We didn't go home for Christmas. We just kind of like did it on our own, which I think was actually really good and fun and, you know, establishing our own traditions before like we spend a lot of Christmases with family because we have kids. But last year was really our first year being like, okay, now what do we want Christmas to look like with kids? And so we're just, you know, we're learning like what we want that to be.
Yeah. And one thing, which is the second thing we want to work on this year, one thing we want it to be is just slowed down, mm-hmm. right? We want to be like patient and slow things down, and the holidays can be such a go, rush, busy, next thing, party, gifts. And then everyone feels overwhelmed because, mm-hmm. well, because of just the nature of it all, but also consumerism, right? Yeah. I think there's just there's a spirit thing that happens with things, and things distract us, mm-hmm. and we get
burden of possessions.
Yes, the burden of possessions. And when you're getting a ton of stuff, you know, yeah, mm-hmm. it's exactly that. It kind of becomes a burden because it takes energy.
Yeah.
And so those are two things I think we've written down as like, hey, mm-hmm. let's work on that this year. Like,
yeah, it's good, babe.
We don't need to go to a fifth party if we haven't sat down and read the Christmas story yet.
Yeah.
Right? Matthew 1 and 2 or Luke 1 and 2, you can read the Christmas story.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah, resisting consumerism, which is it's an American problem for sure. And just slowing down, focusing on the why, not the what. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are our two big...
And I would add to that too, and I know we've talked about this also, just like generosity, like just being generous and teaching our kids generosity through the lens of Christmas, through the Christmas story, like just being intentional about that.
Totally. Like I want my Christmas season, you know, I'm just thinking... You know, compared to how it was, for example, last year was really crazy. Ember was just,
we weren't prepared.
We weren't prepared to manage. This actually is a good segue into managing expectations. Yeah. But we just weren't prepared for
what it would be like.
What it would be like to have
four Christmases or three
Christmases. Four Christmases, right? Because my parents are divorced. So we had to go spend time with my mom, spend time with my dad. Then
you have aunts and uncles.
Aunts and uncles.
You have cousins. You have my parents.
Audrey's parents.
We want to do our own traditions
where, too. Our traditions that we established our first year that we've just told you guys about.
Yeah.
It was chaos.
Yeah. And we started the day off on a bad note because we didn't practice what we always say that we should. We're usually pretty good about this, but we didn't do it on Christmas morning. We didn't say like, okay, what are your expectations for this day? Our like main thing that we always do for holidays.
Yes. Well, before we go that though, what happened?
So the morning of Christmas,
make the story short.
Make the story short.
But go
I will.
On.
But she or Ember, you moms will relate to this. I hate cutting baby nails. It terrifies me, and it terrified me, and I just didn't like doing it. And so Jer would bite them. And then the morning of Christmas,
I stopped doing that now because I don't want to teach her to bite her nails.
The morning of Christmas, Jer was like making us coffee or, I don't know, doing something downstairs. And I was just like, I'm going to cut Ember's nails really quick. Or Jer was building a fire or whatever. And I cut one too short and it bled. And it bled for ever.
Yeah. You were, you and Audrey overreacted. She wanted to like go to the hospital. I'm like,
no, I didn't. I didn't want to go to the hospital, but I was worried. And then I was like holding pressure on my 3 month old baby's finger.
Should it be bleeding this much?
Yeah. And then so for, you know, 2 hours of Christmas morning, instead of like making brunch and having relaxing coffee by the fire and all this, I'm like cuddling Ember, who's totally fine, but I'm worried.
Yeah,
and
you're like, you're the mess. Ember's like, finger, when can I
texting my friends that are nurses, being like, "Is this okay? It's still bleeding." Yeah.
So that's how our Christmas Day last year started,
and then it got crazier because then
you apologized, but I think that flustered us, and then we didn't do the one thing we always do when we go places. Yeah. We've written some articles about this on Beating 50, but practicing expectation management. And this is one, do you want to share it, babe?
No, you go for it.
Yeah, so it's one thing we always do before we go to a party, before we enter a house, before we go anywhere really. We sit in the car, I turn off the car, we sit there for a minute, we look at each other, or we do it on the ride over and we go, babe, what are your expectations for this? Mm-hmm. That simple question has done more for our expectation management.
It's prevented so much conflict.
Than anything.
Yeah.
Because I'm able to say like, babe, I would love to go out with the guys after because I know that's going
to
happen.
Or I'm able to say, babe, I really want to spend extra time with my parents tonight. Can we stay a little bit later?
And maybe I want
can
to
we leave earlier.
Maybe I'm
really
not
tired.
Feeling good and I want to go home. So we got to have that conversation before we're in front of people and in the situation. Or Audrey can go, babe, I watched Ember all day.
Yeah.
Can you just like watch him with the guys while I sit and enjoy my drink with the girls? You know, just give me like 20 minutes. And totally. I go, oh, great. You need that. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. And or so, with Ember too, just being able to communicate, it gives us a chance to go, hey, Jared, like, just so you know, because sometimes you don't know, like Ember didn't have any naps today. We can't stay super late. You know, communicating those things. If you guys have kids, I'm sure you can relate to this. Like just making those expectations known. It's been a huge thing.
It's been huge. And it's, we call it
being honest about
it. We call it practicing expectation management. And it's just asking each other the question, what are your expectations for this in the car before you go anywhere or get out of the car, you know? And then with Christmas, you know, there's just so many expectations, right? There's expectations that people have on you, with family, with in-laws, personally, like everyone wants the holidays to look a specific way. And if you're not talking about how you want it to look, problems are going to happen.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And also, like, I will just add to that, you know, talking about what's important to each of you. Like, if, I mean, I guess I'm specifically more speaking to married couples, but anyone really, families, just sharing what's important to you or to yourself, telling yourself what's important to me on Christmas. Is it having a slow morning? Is it spending tons of time with family? Is it cooking an extravagant meal? Is it hosting a party? Is it dressing up, or is it staying in your pajamas? Like, what is it, that thing that's like important to you that's going to make you at the end of the day like smile and be full of joy, and like make that thing known, because it helps you decide what thing's important to you so that you can let the other things go.
Totally.
So when you don't make the extravagant meal, or you don't have time to make your house look like winter wonderland, or you don't have time to like whatever
it's okay
because you did what was important to you.
Yep. And you've made that known. You've been
and
like,
you've made that known.
Listen, babe, like this year, I want to really focus on hanging out with people more.
Right. But this goes to anything, not just Christmas. It could be,
but
anything.
Not at the sacrifice of our traditions. So totally. Christmas Day, let's talk about what our expectations are. I want to stay home Christmas Day and do this, this, and this. And then when it hits 6 p.m., we can go to your parents knowing we're going to go to my parents the day after.
Yep.
It just boils down to communication.
Yeah. Yeah.
As far as expectation management and managing them. But I will say a lot of people are scared to communicate their expectations to their in-laws or to their parents. Mm-hmm. But I just want to remind everyone, like, you, if you're married, you are your own family. You have leaved and cleaved. You are your own unit, your own family. You don't need to be under anyone else's expectations. You actually get to set your own expectations. And this isn't to say no to everyone and stuff. Yeah, I'm just saying, totally. Like, I'm just trying to give people, like, I remember being really, like, liberated when I, when an older man, a mentor of mine, spoke this truth into me, saying, like, listen, like, this is your house, you and your wife together. Like, you don't.
You guys get to decide what you
want to do.
Yeah.
You don't need to feel guilty for saying no to stuff. Like, you get to make, this is your life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. so live it the way you want.
Yeah.
That was huge for me and us, yeah. I think, and gave us a lot of freedom.
Yeah. And because I think for so many people, Christmas can be such a time of people pleasing.
Yeah.
Or people feeling guilty for, like, I know personally people that feel guilty for doing their own, wanting to have their own traditions or do their own things because they feel like they need to keep doing their family's traditions.
Yeah, their previous, yeah.
And I think to some extent, like, yes, like honor your family tradition that you have with your previous, like, make space for those if they're important to you. This goes back to like the important thing, like what is yeah. really important.
Yeah.
But like, but also like in the same sense, like don't feel bad if you want to do things a different way than your parents did. Don't feel bad if you, you know,
yeah.
like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know where I was going with that, but.
No, your point's made though. Yeah, totally. So.
And I think too, also like one thing that I know can be a tricky thing for any holiday or time with family is like Jared and I have kind of talked about this a little bit more recently because we've learned from experience doing it the wrong way, but also talk to your husband or wife about conversations that you want to have or that you want to avoid at
yes,
the party.
Yes.
Like beforehand, just be like, hey, let's not bring up this, you know, that caused a little bit of conflict or tension last yeah. time. Or just
go into stuff like, for me, I have told myself, like, I really enjoy talking about crazy stuff. Like, give yeah. me politics, give me religion, give me anything. And I love talking about it and debating about it and getting into it.
Right.
But I'm not going to do it at a dinner table. I'm going to do it in the corner with a beer, you know, if it happens to come up.
With one person.
With one person in an appropriate environment. Yeah. I'm not going to control the environment of the room and make other
impose
people
impose your opinions on everyone.
Exactly.
And yeah.
So I tell Audrey that though, going in, I go, hey babe, like, you know, I'm okay having these conversations, but we know from experience or whatever that like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to have them in these situations or scenarios. But if, for example, I'm just going to throw a name, Dan decides to talk about it, I'm going to suggest we step into the other room and I'm going to have the conversation. That's where I'll be.
Yeah.
And so Audrey knows during the party, you know, like if something happens, and she, where's Jared go? And I'm in the other room. She goes, oh, okay. Yeah, he's probably getting into it.
Well, and the same goes for me. I've tried to be more intentional about that too, just because you're much better than me at doing that. Be intentional about pulling it away from the conversation. Like,
yeah, I'm
having that one off. Whereas like I'm a
less
little,
emotional.
I get more riled up.
I'm less emotional about it. Yeah. Yeah. Next thing you know, Audrey will be in the kitchen singing an opera and everyone's turning their heads while yeah.
See, but I've learned from experience and that's why
totally.
I've been better about being like, babe, I'm not going to bring this up or we're not, let's try not to talk about this. Cause I know for me, it's just better to just not go there sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially during the holidays. You don't want to make it all about that, you know?
Yeah.
Like you don't want to make it all about like some
yeah
opinion battle that you want to
and win. Everyone thinks like their opinion, I mean, this isn't to sound rude, but like, I'm fully aware that my opinion ultimately like doesn't matter in many cases. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? But so, this is one thing about social media. Two problems social media has given us. One is it makes everyone feel like they have an opinion that needs to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you have an opinion, but it doesn't necessarily need to be spewed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing social media has done to us, this is a total tangent, but second thing social media has done to us is all we're doing constantly is watching and seeing things that are prettier, better,
yeah.
more well done, a prettier house, better decorations, better gift,
mm-hmm.
Cuter pajamas, more awesome photo.
Mm-hmm.
It's a constant onslaught of
yeah.
you're less than what you see.
Yeah.
And that's where the consumption of social media is so dangerous and we must mm-hmm. put boundaries around it. And something odd, that's a different podcast, but
it is
the boundaries around social media. That's a whole thing that we've been working on.
Yeah.
And I think going into this new year is maybe that's when we'll do a podcast on it in January, or February sometime mm-hmm. of just like what we have been doing and what we want to do
yeah.
for the, this next year
mm-hmm.
to control social media. Okay. Tangent over.
Yeah. But it is a good thing to like consider. That's another thing that you could lay out expectations for, like, hey, we're not going to be on our phones on Christmas. We're not going to do social media on Christmas. Unnecessary. So unnecessary. You know what I mean? You're just going to get on social media and compare your Christmas to everyone else's
yeah.
or
it's
whatever.
It's okay to post a thing or two.
Sure.
But that's an intentional. But
don't make it your day.
Don't make it a consumption thing. Make it a, like a, you know.
Merry Christmas if you want.
Yeah, well, there's a difference from using social media and consuming social media. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of people get the two mixed up, because I did a post actually a while ago about how social media can be so dangerous if mm-hmm. it's just a consumption thing. And a bunch of people didn't really understand it. And they were like, oh, but you're on social media to say that. And it's like, well, yeah, it's the best way to say it. But just because I use social media doesn't mean that it's I'm consuming it all day, every day, nonstop. And that's what the warning was. You know what I mean?
I see. Yeah.
Using social media is way different than consuming it. And again, that's a whole different podcast. Yeah. But I think during the holidays, it's important. Because you were just hit with so much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it can steal the joy.
Yeah. I think I was just thinking of this a couple before that tangent. But another thing that I think has been really helpful for us with any holiday, but Christmas especially, is like appreciating each other during holidays, appreciating, you know, holidays time can be a lot of work. It can be, it can be pressure, especially for like moms with lots of little kids, like cooking meals or whatever. Like just, it's good, I think, to just give extra praise and appreciation to your husband or wife on Christmas. Like, you know, just like, be extra affirming.
Yeah, that's good, babe.
Give extra praises. Like, it makes the day just more fun too, you know, and like makes you more thankful and have just a spirit of gratitude and appreciation for what you do have, you know, and
totally.
I just think it sets a good tone.
And everyone's a little bit more, I don't want to say emotional, but just higher strung, you know. It's just, it's the holidays, you know, you're getting gifts, you're spending money, you're just, you're doing a lot more things. And so that's a really good note, babe. Yeah. All right. So yeah, that's a good little sum up of our thoughts on Christmas.
Yeah.
Roses and thorns, thorns and roses.
Thorns and roses.
It's that time.
Let's do it. Babe, what was your thorn from the week?
My thorn, you know.
The Drobo.
Yeah, the Drobo. So
sorry, I feel like every week I say your thorn because you forget it, but well, then you're like, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, that was so good. So as you guys know, I've been wrestling with this hard drive issue with the Drobo and all that. And we lost a bunch of like footage and photos of Ember. And so I got it back. It was not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still some problems with it. So I've been working through those. And it's just really got me, let's just say, frustrated. That's my thorn.
Definitely frustrating.
Babe, what's your thorn for the week?
My thorn is, dang it, I can never think.
Working out.
I don't know. Not working out, you mean?
Yeah. Not working out, like just being.
Yeah, that has been a frustration. We've just been so
busy.
I hate saying that, but we
I
have.
Hate it, yeah. And it's funny because it's one thing. Insane. That's why we talk about it so much, because we recognize it's like a really big thing when you work on.
And I will say, my rose has been, we've been staying up way too late my thorn, staying up too late working.
Yeah.
My mind racing through the night, then waking up tired. Yeah. Like that. I know it's been like a crazy season, but it's just, that's been a thorn.
Yeah. And definitely something going into the new year is going to be really, I think, helpful. Just kind of being able to set that reset button and recommitting to, you know, rhythms and patterns of life that produce a certain lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Babe, what is your rose for the week?
I would say my rose was Cambria being in town, our assistant, and just crushing it.
Yeah, it's always fun.
And going up to Brist, my manufacturer for my shop, for the first time going up to see
the facility.
Just like the warehouse where all of the Always More stuff is made and warehouse and shipped out of, and meeting the rest of the team up there. That was super fun and exciting. Just like a fun, beautiful road trip and just being up in Washington with us. And that was just really exciting. And it got me really excited for like the future of Always More and like just what, just all of that. So fun things to come. That was my rose. What was yours, babe?
Well, I mean, same. Yeah, just the drive's beautiful. That was super fun. Seeing the facility at Brist. And I mean, I'd say same. Just Always More is such an awesome
mission. I know a rose mission. For you. We're telling each other our roses and thorns.
What?
We should just tell each other our roses and thorns, because we remember each other better than ourselves. Your book that you've been reading that you love.
Oh, yeah. That's been... So I started Wild at Heart. Believe it or not, I have not read that yet. And it's been a really good book. I feel like starting the book was almost like this spiritual leap. And it's almost like you read the book when you need to read it. And I feel like that's maybe good. I needed to read it right now with the season of life I'm in, especially going into this new year. Yeah, so that's thanks, babe. That's been a good rose of mine. Yeah. I will say also, guys, I am thinking about cutting my hair.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little side note here.
Thinking about
cutting my hair, and I started a campaign with Charity Water. I'm attempting to raise $15,000 for people that don't have clean drinking water. It's the holidays, and I think Aj and I have been feeling very fortunate and blessed with just a lot of things lately, and just perspective, right? Like, people don't have drinking water, and I know there's a ton of needs here and right in our city and this and that, you can't fix all problems with one thing. Mm-hmm. This is just one thing I've chosen to do is, like, Scott Harrison's a friend of ours, and just Charity Water, we love that organization. Mm-hmm. And so we want to
100% of the profits go to clean water.
Yeah. We want to try to give, if we raise the $15,000, over 500 people that don't currently have clean water to drink will get clean water.
Oh, wow.
We'll get a well. Yeah. So it's just an amazing cause. And so that's, I'm trying to do that. And if we raise it, I'm shaving my head. Cut my hair.
Like, it's time. Really worried that, like, I'm going to have a panic attack.
I think Ember's ready to see what dad curls. Looks like with short hair.
I love the curls, though.
I'm just ready for it. And I thought this would be a great thing to try to do. So if you guys want to help out, anything, like a dollar would work, right? Mm-hmm. Or trade a latte this week to give $5 to help someone be able to drink water, not a latte, water. Mm. And you can go to my Instagram, and the link is in my bio under, you know, Charity Water, or you can swipe up on some stories. I'm sure I'm still talking about it at this point on my stories. If you're not on Instagram, go to Facebook, my Facebook page, Jeremy Roloff. It's pinned to the top. You can find it if you want to. Thanks. That's just a little thing I'm doing, and would appreciate the help. So,
all right, guys, that is it for this week. But if you guys have fun holiday traditions or things that you do with your family or questions about things that we said in this podcast or just suggestions.
Yeah, we want to know what your traditions are,
too. Yeah, we want to know. So comment on our social media or on our Instagram account, Behind the Scenes Podcast, or you can leave a review.
Please leave a review.
Yeah. And we just love to hear from you guys what you think. We always love hearing what you guys think, your feedback, and it gives us more ideas too. So
totally.
We love you guys.
We appreciate you guys. See you next week.